beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
On a parallel Earth, my world is similar to yours in many ways, but very different in others.
Luthor's new Justice League is not to be underestimated.
Supervillains rule the planet.
We were systematically destroyed by a group of superpowered beings known as the Crime Syndicate.
They have the same superpowers as the Justice League, but with an evil twist.
Take them down.
They're willing to kill. Get ready for an all-new animated original movie from DC Universe. Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, and the rest of the Justice League.
It's okay. We'll take it from here.
In a battle against their criminal counterparts.
I'm the baddest of the bad. Anybody who ever stood in my way is dead.
Two Earths, two leagues, one epic battle. Justice League, Crisis on Two Earths.
Nice place.
Mr. President, I think I'm gonna like it here.
Hello and welcome again to Animation Aficionados Crossing Over with Tooncast Beyond. We are again continuing our look through the DC original animated movies. I am your host, Ben, and of course we're joined by my co-host, TV's Mr. Neil.
Such heroic nonsense.
That was bad.
Yeah. And we also have with us the host of Tooncast Beyond, TFG1, Mike Blanchard.
Hello.
And also from
the Joker.
Also from Tooncast Beyond, we have Steve Megatron.
Yes. Hello.
All right. And we, of course, are talking about Justice League Crisis on Two Earths. And to start out with this, this was actually originally intended to be a bridge movie between Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. And there's still a lot of that DNA left in there, but this totally stands on its own.
Oh, yeah, it does. I love the DNA that they left in there. But, yeah, sadly, from season two of JL to season one of JLU, they just couldn't get Worlds Collide off the ground. And I believe Dwayne McDuffie turned this around within, like, 48 hours. As far as like an initial rewrite of the script,
pretty much. But you know, like I said, even then, a lot of the changes, you know, changing, you know, John Stewart to Hal Jordan, in other ITB changes, you know, you could still see some of the elements that were meant. Like for instance, the invisible plane, that was introduced here was obviously intended to be the explanation of how Wonder Woman got the invisible plane in JLU.
Yeah.
And the fact that the Watchtower was being constructed here was obviously a hint of, you know, at the end of season two of JL. But like I said,
blew up, yeah.
Like I said, even with that, even with these remnants of DNA, that's not a detriment to this at all.
I think it actually adds to it.
I think, if anything, it just makes it even more interesting. And I really did love this movie, except for one minor nitpick that just is so minor that I'm just going to get out of the way right now, and we're never going to mention it again.
Okay.
Martian Manhunter's costume sucks.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't like Martian Manhunter's design in this, so it doesn't really matter to me either way. The one nitpick I have to get out of the way, and I actually looked this up. Yes, I understand this was supposed to originally was a bridge movie. It was Justice League Worlds Collide, which Dwayne McDuffie turned it into this, but I did a little bit of research. You know, Infinite Earths and all that stuff has been around for a while, but Earth Prime and all that, the first time I saw that before I saw this movie was Turtles Forever. This, I swear to God, this is Turtles Forever with superheroes.
Well, actually, Turtles Forever is Crisis of the Infinite Earths with turtles.
Exactly.
And you know, it was just only a couple of days ago what we were praising the hell out of Turtles Forever on the Animation Aficionados, so you can check that episode out pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this really is a great movie because
it is.
Because even the itty-bitty parts, you know, it's a blink and miss it sort of thing, but those blink and miss it scenes are great. I mean, for someone who doesn't quite understand the comics, it doesn't hurt. But the ones that do, it's like a little extra added bonus, like, like, you know, the made men, the crime syndicate's Superwoman's made men were pretty much the Marvel family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I love that because you even had the goofy uncle from the original Fawcett comics as a badass, and that was kind of funny. But another thing I loved was you had Deathstroke the Terminator, Slade Wilson as the president.
Yeah, that's, and plus you had what's his name? You had Senator Kelly from X-Men 2000 voicing him, Bruce Davidson. Bruce Davidson, yep. One of the things for me on this one was first of all, outside of the original DCAU voice cast, this Superman is the one that I like the best outside of Newbern and Daly. Mark Harmon really knocked it out of the park as Superman, I think.
I was waiting for him to slap someone in the back of the head. And William Baldwin did a pretty good Batman, too.
He did pretty good. I like his better than Sisto's and better than... who was the other
Oswald.
One? Yeah, oh, we're not even going there. That's for a much... later episode.
And
go ahead, Ben. What?
And another thing I liked was just, you know, the number one, as we said, but this does definitely take a lot of the DNA from the intended bridge movie between JL and JLU, but also took some hints from I think it was a Grant Morrison comic from the early 90s called JLA Earth 2.
Yeah.
Which is great to find because Grant Morrison, come on, Grant frickin' Morrison. And a lot of the hints, like everybody on Earth 2 has their anatomy reversed. For instance, yeah. You know, the heart's on the wrong side. That's in this movie is how Superman figures out that this Lex Luthor is from another universe. And what I did also liked was the fact that he announced himself as Alexander Luthor, which is what the Earth 2 Luthor does, you know, versus saying I'm Lex, he's Alexander. So, and
go ahead.
And another thing I have to praise is, you know, James Woods.
Oh, yeah. As Owlman, I mean, talk about a creeper. Holy crap. But that guy was awesome as Owlman. The one thing I'm not too sure about this, I know Bruce Timm had said it in the commentary for A Better World, but he mentions in that commentary that they wanted to make the Justice Lords sort of like the Crime Syndicate, but you couldn't make them, because he had read the Authority comic apparently at the time. You couldn't make them totally the Crime Syndicate. So I think this is, again, a leftover piece of that where he wanted to do that, and this is kind of where he went with it. The only other nitpick I have... and I don't know because I'm not too up on the comics, but the Jester's Harley being a monkey, that's a little weird to me.
That was more of a cute little nod versus anything that means anything. So
I'm not reading into it. I'm just saying when Batman's like, sorry, Harley, he's – or not Batman. When Lex is like, sorry, Harley, he's gone – that kind of took me out of the movie for a second. I was like, wait, Harley's a monkey now? How? Oh, okay, whatever.
Well, what I also enjoyed was, you know, the animation in this movie is beautiful, and the designs really suit the studio. This is again, one of the more expressive ones, especially with the faces. I really enjoyed watching this.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Neil? What did you like about this one?
The fight choreography.
Oh yeah,
I mean there were some awesome wrestling moves going on between Wonder Woman and Superwoman. Yep. I mean, I swear at one point Wonder Woman actually dropped an elbow on Superwoman, and
she did,
and hogtied her and it said submit, and then there was the thing with the spear. I don't know the name of the character, but Wonder Woman slams this other character into a wall and lodges a spear right next to her head, and then thwaps the spear against this character's head. It was hysterical. Oh,
I love that. Yeah.
There was a lot of fun with the fight choreography, I can tell.
What about you, Steve? What are your thoughts on Crisis?
I like the interesting twists and direct parallels of the hero-to-villain ratio. I mean, the nice touch for instance, like the Joker's alternate, Owlman and Batman. They look similar enough, but to tell clearly who they're supposed to be duplicates of. And I like the animation style and all the fighting in it, because it's pretty much just an all-out brawl the whole movie.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, this so far, out of them all, out of all the ones we've covered, honestly, this one is probably my favorite up to this point now. It was so well done, as Neil said, with the fight choreography, with the animation. The fact that it almost reminds me of JLU animation style.
Exactly, and what I also loved was I was watching this with a friend the first time I watched it, and when Batman was in the power loader, and he showed up to fight the supers.
Supers, yeah.
You know, I me and my friend both shout at the same time, "Get away from her, you bitch." And we couldn't help it. It was just like...
The one thing that creeps me out about that mechanical bat suit on the tower is when I first watched it was when it first came out. I haven't seen it since then, up until obviously right before this recording. The first time around, I didn't notice. The only thing I noticed about that mechanical suit he has was the claw arm thing. Mm-hmm. And going back and watching it today, I did not notice that it actually has actual regular hands for his arms and his hands. And it just creeped me out so much that his hand movement is moving the claw. I mean, I know that's how you normally do it. Your hand movement moves the appendage, but it's just so freaky to me. I actually screen capped it and put it on Facebook. It's just it's a creepy, creepy image to me.
Well, you did the screen cap of him doing the come on gesture.
Like I said, that's what me and my friends shouted, because that was the power loader. Come on, guys. Yeah. It was.
Yeah.
I'd have to say, ultimately, my favorite part of this movie is the very end where Owlman and Batman are duking it out between not only their wills, but their
gadgets.
Yeah, their gadgets, their detective skills. I mean, all that is coming to a head. It's almost like Sherlock Holmes and Moriarty against each other at this kind of point.
Oh, yeah.
And what I did love was Batman did give Owlman the means to save himself, but Owlman just grins and says, "It doesn't matter."
And then Batman sends him to another planet to blow himself up.
I know, but he left one of those devices behind so Owlman could have saved himself if he wanted to.
Yeah.
Because Batman doesn't kill.
Yep.
And I like how Batman also tricked Flash's counterpart.
Johnny Quick?
Yes.
Yeah.
Into causing the whole thing to happen, knowing full well that he was going to die.
He did trick him, but also at the end when he came out, he did scream, "Johnny, you can stop." I mean, we knew that something like that was going to happen, but I don't know if it was to try to save him or to stop him from maybe spontaneously combusting from going that fast. I don't know. When I first saw the image of him going full speed, the first thing I thought was, oh, it's alternate Flash going into the Speed Force. this movie is so awesome. There isn't a dull scene in this film.
There really isn't. I mean, this is another movie that I would not skip around just to watch the cool scenes. I'd pretty much watch all the way through.
Every single scene is cool. You know, I know that Mark Harmon is mainly known for NCIS and all that stuff, but Chris Noth as Luthor, oh my God. What the hell's a detective from Law & Order doing in a Justice League movie?
Well, he's also Mr. Big.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about that.
But no, this was really fun. And I especially enjoyed Aquaman's little fight scene in this.
Yeah, that was kind of awesome. Batman's like, "They're too powerful for you. We'll see about that."
As he wipes blood off his chin.
Yeah. The one thing I really loved about this, because this character has always been a favorite of mine ever since I was a kid watching the superpower shows and stuff like that, the Super Friend shows. I love seeing Firestorm. That was awesome. Okay, in silence.
Firestorm's okay.
Well, I mean, if you grew up liking the character and seeing, I mean, I think this is the first time he's been in animation since then, because I know he wasn't in Justice League.
He was in JLU.
Well, he one scene maybe. I don't think he talked, did he?
You know how many heroes they had in scenes that never talked?
I know.
I mean, they had freaking Aztec and the blue devil in JLU background shots. I mean, the blue freaking devil. Who remembers the blue devil?
Well, Aztec did talk in a couple episodes because he was the one that was looking for Luthor in the initiation.
Well, that's right.
So getting into the cast, we've kind of, you know, talked about the cast a little bit, but I mean, this by far, stellar voice casting by Andre Romano.
Yeah.
Just amazing. You have, as I said, Mark Harmon, William Baldwin, say what you want about the Baldwins, Chris Noth, Gina Torres as Superwoman, James Woods as Owlman, Jonathan Adams as John Jones, Martian Manhunter, Brian Bloom as Ultraman, Bruce Davison as the President, Josh Keaton as Wally West, the Flash. He was also Aquaman as well, but he was uncredited for that. Just an overall really great voice cast. And this is a voice cast that you don't need. Like, you would think, since this was originally for the DCAU, you would think, oh, well, they're going to get every single Justice League voice back. No. And it doesn't need it. It doesn't even, as much as we all love Kevin Conroy, as Ben said, William Baldwin did a fairly decent job as Batman, and you don't need any of the DCAU voices in this.
You really don't. It, like I said, it has the DNA, but it really does stand on its own as its own product. I mean, that's the beauty of it, that you don't need the backstory. You don't need to know two seasons of JL to jump into this. You don't need to know where it goes from this. It is. It simply is a great movie.
Oh, yeah. Totally agree. Any other thoughts, Neil?
Just that the way they brought in the Invisible Jet, the way that you really didn't know that it was the Invisible Jet until the very end.
And yeah. then it doesn't Wonder Woman basically say, "Can I keep it?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh.
Yeah, exactly. I see. That was very clever.
Pretty sneaky, sis.
What is even more clever about this is when she uses it in for the man who has everything, and Batman doesn't like her flying skills because he almost pukes in the invisible jet.
That'd be hard to clean up.
Yeah. Steve, any other thoughts, initial thoughts on Crisis?
Initially, I almost didn't give this one a shot, being that I saw that, what was that other Justice League movie that I didn't care to watch?
New Frontier?
Yeah, that I saw part of that one, and that kind of turned me off to some of the movies. So I looked at this one almost in that way, and then heard that the original voice cast wasn't in it. So I was kind of a little off on it, but then after I started watching it, it turned out fine for me. Like you guys said, I mean, it does have the vibes of JLU, but it does stand on its own. So, I mean, I was glad I watched it by the end of it, and I would definitely say that it's among their best of their DC animated movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I also love the fact that they referenced the Jedi mind trick.
That was hilarious. Poor Flash.
This is like the Jedi mind trick. This is not like the Jedi mind trick.
Yeah. and I didn't even see this, but apparently More tie-ins for DCAU people. The javelins were briefly seen in the Watchtower. I totally missed those.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
I saw the invisible jet, but I didn't see the javelins. I'll have to go back and watch it.
Well, watch it.
Getting into the box office here, Crisis on Two Earths made a gross of $5,300,000. It sold 358,319 units. So it made pretty good money. Still, nothing at this point is going to touch that shitty Doomsday movie. Again, people love shitty movies.
Yeah, so. didn't that other shitty one make pretty good money too?
$8 million, yes.
Yeah.
For Gotham Knight, yeah.
Yeah, and then the other shitty one did pretty good too. But yeah, this one definitely was the best one so far. I mean, in my opinion, this is you know, this one actually topples what was once the best one, Wonder Woman. This one topples that. I mean, because Wonder Woman was great, but this is so much of a, you know, as great as Wonder Woman is, this is much better. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, Wonder Woman is great as a single, like, okay, you've had three movies so far with the big three. You've had Doomsday, Gotham Knight, which both suck, and then you had Wonder Woman, which was really, really awesome and great. As far as the two team-up movies so far, you've got New Frontier, and then you've got this.
No, you forgot another team-up movie, the shitty one, the turd polish.
Well, we haven't done that one.
Okay. No. That's different. I mean, like, Justice League team-up
movies. Okay, you have to clarify.
Right. You had New Frontier, and then you have this. And, of course, you know, the singular team-up movie of Superman and Batman Public Enemies, which the Geekcast Radio Network does not support the opinion of Ben Carver on that movie because that movie was awesome.
Yes.
We're not going to talk about that movie again. And anyways, I sent you the comments.
You're the one that brought it up. You're the one that brought it up.
Exactly. Anyways, this one... I like New Frontier for what it is, but this one, because it is so close to DCAU stuff, I love this even more. And this is, at this point, my new number one favorite out of all the ones that they've done. What about you, Steve? Any other stuff you want to bring up?
I would definitely rank it very high among the DC Universe movies. I wouldn't put it at my number one spot, because of what's coming up in the next episode.
Thus far. We go by thus far.
Yeah.
Yeah. But thus far, I would have to say it's the best one.
Mm-hmm.
And I still claim that second for me is Public Enemies, but that's a different topic. But anyways, the whole movie does stand on its own, so I mean, that's a nice thing about it, and I just love the constant brawling in it. That's just my favorite part, is the fact that you've got that, and then Batman's still the only one that still has a freaking clue what's going on.
The only slow scenes, and I don't mean slow as far as boring scenes, but like the only slow-paced scenes are the scenes with the president and the scenes between John and the president's daughter. The rest of this movie is nonstop action.
Well, the interesting thing is the president's daughter, Rose, I mean... They were making a joke about that because in all other standard continuities, Deathstroke's daughter is also a villainess named Ravager, and she tore out her own eye to be like her father, and stuff happened, and yeah.
I got a vibe of what's that Stallone movie with Sandra Bullock? I got a Demolition Man vibe with John and Rose.
Are you saying they had sex in the car?
They had sex with their minds, damn it. Alright, so we are the IGN replacement crew, 0-4. Neil, what do you give it?
I'll give it a 4.
Ben?
Definitely a 4. This is one I own and I don't regret it for one moment.
Steve?
I'd also give it a 4.
Yes, I give it a 4 as well, and as far as the DVD release and all that stuff, it is on DVD, single disc, double disc, it's on Blu-ray, I believe. The two-disc special edition also includes an animated short featuring the Spectre, which we really haven't talked about the animated shorts too much with the films. Was this the first one that started the animated shorts, or was there one on Wonder Woman?
I think that's the first one that started the shorts.
This was the first one? Okay. So from here on out, when we talk about the DVD release stuff on Tooncast Beyond Animation Aficionados Crossover, we will mention the shorts. The Spectre isn't a character I ever really knew. I liked the short. It was good.
It was very gritty. And,
yeah.
And the Spectre short was interesting, but at the same time, no one who really... This really wasn't an apt introduction to the Spectre to people that might be interested in it. This is more of a shout-out to the Spectre fans.
Right.
Because it really doesn't have a superhero feel to it. I mean, this was almost a straight-up Golden Age story, you know. It almost felt like something from you know, L.A. Confidential, Hollywood Land or something.
Yeah. And the other thing, as we mentioned earlier, as I mentioned about Bruce Timm in A Better World, both parts are on here as well for the two-disc edition. So I think we're going to take a break here on Tooncast Beyond. You're going to hear some ads. I have no idea what the ads are going to have this week, because I have not listened to them, but you're going to hear some ads, and we'll come back to close the show after that.
Tooncast will be back after these messages!
The Webcast Beacon Network has been covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007, starting with the Webcomic Beacon, a topical webcomics podcast with a jovial bunch of misfits like your local morning radio show. Also, the Webcomic Beacon Newscast, recaps, reviews, and discussions of community and industry news relative to comic creators, especially of digital distribution. Also, the Tropecast, the ever-tangential discussion of literary and visual memes. And finally, Web Fiction World. Before webcomics, there was independent and self-published web-release written fiction and literature. Find this all at webcastbeacon.com. Be sure to grab a master RSS feed or master iTunes feed and not miss a thing.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and AnimationAficionados.com.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Greg.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the internet's number one G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind?
That's right. It's Joe news, reviews, and special guests like you've never heard them before delivered right to your MP3 player.
Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right. Hey.
We're just kidding, Chuck. Kind of.
Yeah. Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right. Hey.
It's What's on Joe Mind. Every week on the Geekcast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
Can I say something about Transformers?
No!
2012 marks the 30th anniversary for Masters of the Universe. We here at the GCRN are celebrating with a brand new series of podcasts. The Powers of Grayskull series will cover every episode of every MOTU cartoon. Yes, even that crappy New Adventure stuff. Join Optimus Solo and TFG1 Mike as they tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, and finally, masters of Grayskull. You can find the Pogs podcasts in iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Good journey!
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free use and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you and your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code Geekcast Radio when you register.
Now back to Tooncast. Podcast.
So we are back, and I think we've pretty much already said all our final thoughts, but I'll go around the room again. Neil?
Well, you know, this movie was awesome because not only did it have Wonder Woman, but it had Superwoman. So the perv in me gives it 2 thumbs up.
Yeah, it had Superwoman voiced by Jasmine.
And oh my God,
awesome. I was surprised that Superwoman didn't start eating people or absorbing people to be some sort of demon wench. Only fans of Angel will get this reference. Yeah, Gina Torres as Superwoman, just amazing. Ben, what about you?
This was definitely a great movie. I say, you know, number one, Christmas is coming up. If you don't have any friends that don't have it, this makes a great stocking stuffer. You know, do it. You know, make sure that you get a couple more copies of this sold, so that way you can dethrone Doomsday.
Steve, final thought?
Definitely a must own. That's all I'm going to say.
I wonder what Megatron would sound like saying Forrest Gump lines. Anyway, thank you for joining us here on Tooncast Beyond the Animation Aficionados crossover. There's always get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com and animationaficionados.com. You can comment on each of the posts. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The short name there is Tooncast Beyond. Mine is TFG and Mike. Steve, what is your Twitter?
SCP21.
Neil?
It's Neil Sama.
Ben, what's the AA Twitter?
A aficionados.
Become a fan of... yeah, that, there you go, Neil. That's a good episode right there. Alcoholic aficionados.
I don't drink.
Well,
that's what AA stands for.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork and facebook.com/animationaficionados. Neil finally got the name right for the linking. Yeah. Call the voicemail line 502-526-5821. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast Beyond and the Animation Aficionados crossover. Wish you'll join us next time when we will be continuing the DC Universe Animated Movie Spotlight with Batman Under the Red Hood. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
TV's Mr. Neil,
Steve Megatron Phillips,
and Ben the host.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Good night.
Train wreck.
Could you just once say, let's get in the car? Is that so hard?